What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. It is officially Brian Callahan introductory press conference day. We'll hear from Brian Callahan. I also assume Rand Carthon at 1 p.m. So we will carry that press conference live and in its entirety. We'll also chat with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, in 1 hour. So we'll get Tim's thoughts on the hire. Also get Tim's thoughts on maybe the national perspective of Brian Callahan. I know a big topic of conversation locally, nationally has been, well, he didn't call plays in Cincinnati. That, to me, is not really at the top of my list of things that I'm concerned about with Brian Callahan. It's not at the top of the list of questions that I have about Brian Callahan. But from a quarterback perspective, I'm intrigued to hear what Tim Hasselbeck thinks of the hire. Willie Donick will join us in just over an hour and a half. He will join us from Minnesota. The Predators are in action tonight, taking on John Hines and the Minnesota Wilds. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We'll have pregame coverage starting right here at 6 p.m. D. Mace will also join us shortly. Nick Frazier is here. Nick, how we doing?
You're doing well, Caroline. I'm kind of ready for this press conference. I'm ready to see what coach is going to say. I was telling Chase McJoe during their show is I want to know what this offense is going to look like.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued to see what some people are going to ask, if it's going to be about the identity of the offense or what direction they're going to go with in the draft type thing. I'm very intrigued about those two things in my mind.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a big topic of conversation is what is your offensive philosophy? What do you think about Will Levis? I'm sure there's going to be several Derrick Henry questions that come up. And it does feel like, you know, on press conference day, I saw a bunch of videos on Titans Twitter of, you know, Brian Callahan and his family walking off the plane, walking into the facility, hugging Rand. It's a very happy day. It's an exciting day, and it does feel like it's a new era, a shifting of the guards, if you will, as far as the Tennessee Titans are concerned. Just like it felt like a new era and a shifting of the guards and a really exciting day last year when Rand Carthon was introduced at his introductory press conference. And I think one important thing to remember on days like today is it's really easy to win a press conference. As fans, it's really easy to kind of let your fandom take over everything of he said all the right things. He sounds like the guy. It's a new, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl. This is going to be the guy that gets us to the Super Bowl. And I hope that Brian Callahan is that guy that can get you to the Super Bowl. But it's really easy to be incredibly optimistic and really easy to look at everything through a glass half full perspective on press conference day. When you haven't gotten into any disagreements, when you haven't put through the draft board, when it's not draft night, when you haven't lost any games yet. That's exactly what we said last year when Rand Carthon was introduced, was it's really easy to talk about collaboration on day one. It's really easy to say that you're going to work well together when you haven't gone through those disagreements yet. Now, I think the difference here is, and I think it's a positive difference as far as the Titans are concerned, is we know what the clear-cut and defined roles are. But my message to Titans fans today is it's really easy to win the press conference. I expect Brian Callahan to make a really good first impression. And first impressions, they matter. But important to remember, you haven't won any games yet. Nor have you lost any games yet. It feels like a different era. And it is a new era with Tennessee Titans football. And I hope it's the right era. But it's no guarantee. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, doing well. You know, it's we finally, and I don't know if Titan fans sort of feel this now, but I do because I've been around here since 1997. It seemed like we're finally away from the old school football, the Jeff Fisher, you know, even though they were really good coaches, you know, and have much respect for them. But the Fishers, the Malarkeys, the Vrabels, you know, the Wisenhunts, it seems like now we're just away from any and everybody that was once here. It's gone. Now you have a new sheriff in town with different ideas. Seems to be more innovative. Wants to be more innovative. Wants to usher this team into this new way of doing football. Because even with Vrabel, there still was this stench, smell of old school football.
It was still
the smell of old school football. And you just couldn't get away from it. But it seems like now with the hiring of Brian Callahan, some shifting and reorganizing within the front office, people have new titles, people have gotten, raises in regards to, their position within the team. It just seems like something new now. Like, okay, I don't know if this is going to work or if it's not, but it feels good to have something fresh and new. We're not looking at, a staff that still has hangover from 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years ago, or the thoughts of smash mouth football, playing in a phone booth, playing really good defense, even though you have to still, do those things, play good, play great defense. You got to be able to run the football, but it just seems like we're going to do it in a different way. It's going to look entirely different from what it looked in years prior. And that's a good thing. That's something that the fans should be excited about. Now, again, I'm not saying that it's going to go right. I'm not saying that everything is going to be peachy creamy. But at least somebody within that building said, enough is enough. Amy said it. This is not my dad's NFL anymore. It's not.
And it took all of a year
exactly.
to realize that.
Absolutely. So now she's looking at it from the lens of, I need to be moving forward. We're getting a new stadium in 3 years. I've always pointed to that stadium as they better have their stuff right. Whoever's coaching or GM in this team, mm-hmm. you better have it right before Amy goes into that stadium. Because if you don't, she's going to find somebody else. She's mm-hmm. going to redo this thing over again. And it seems like from the outside looking in, they have everything in order. And we talked about that. Things were out of order. Mm-hmm. It seems like now she's put everybody has a title. Everybody knows exactly what they're doing. There's no, hey, are you doing this? We don't know. Everybody has a title. Everybody knows and understand what they're doing. And this is the way that the NFL operates. Everybody knows what their job is, and you do the job that you are tasked to do. Don't try to do somebody else's job. She believes that. She sees it. And hopefully this thing works out.
And it does feel like CD walked into the studio yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's like, how's it going? Whatever. I said, I feel like everything's organized. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything is where it needs to be. It's like, whenever you come home from a vacation and you throw all your clothes, at least me, throw all your clothes all over the place out of your suitcase.
I let my clothes stay in my suitcase for 2 or 3 days before I do that.
Yeah, right. Like I feel no sense of urgency to get things in order. But you got your dirty clothes bin that's overflowing. Things are everywhere. And when you finally take the time to clean everything up, to wash your clothes, to fold them, put them away and where they need to be, and you walk into your room and it's just like, oh wow, okay, that this feels so much better. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much of a mental toll all of this mess took on me. Mm-hmm. That's how it felt yesterday, at least whenever we got the email from the Tennessee Titans announcing that Rand Carthon was going to have final say in the organization. Was okay, finally there is organization. Mm-hmm. Finally there is and organization, I mean being organized, not organization as in the organization as mm-hmm. a whole. Finally things are clear. Mm-hmm. No more collaboration, no more we'll figure it out, no more it's all hands on deck and nobody gets blame and nobody gets credit for anything. No. Mm-hmm. Finally things are organized how they need to be. Mm-hmm. That I don't think that the previous regime and the previous way that things were kind of organized, or really I should rather say jumbled, doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We all spent the last year wondering, okay, well, whose job was that? Whose responsibility was that? Now we finally have clarity of how this organization is run. And I think the biggest indication of how poorly the structure was last year was the fact that it only took a year for Amy Adams trying to say, uh-uh, we're not doing this anymore. This isn't working anymore. Now, with that being said, that doesn't mean that this structure is going to work.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean that this structure is going to bring you to a Super Bowl. That doesn't mean that Rand Carthon is the right guy as your general manager or Brian Callahan is your right guy as the head coach. That doesn't mean any of that. But it at least feels like from the outside looking in now that Amy Adams Strunk has in place what she wants to have in place. Again, that doesn't necessarily equal wins on the field. That doesn't necessarily equal playoff wins at the end of the season. But what it does mean is clarity. Mm-hmm. And that's really all that we have and Titans fans have been asking for with this organization. And today, I think, is going to be a big day, D-Mace, mm-hmm. of, you know, time will tell. Of we like what we heard from Brian Callahan. You know, we might like his ideas. We might not like this idea. You know, we will break down the press conference ad nauseum. But today will be a lot of, I like what Brian Callahan said this. You know, I like my first impression of Brian Callahan, making an assumption that I think we will get a good first impression of Brian Callahan. But, D-Mace, what we're also going to couch all of that with is time will tell. Mm-hmm. Time will tell what kind of a coach he is. Is it really as simple as the time that will tell us of how good Brian Callahan, how good of a coach Brian Callahan is? Is Will Levis? Is it as simple as saying the success or the failure of the quarterback will equal the success or the failure of the head coach? And ultimately, probably the general manager?
In this league, I think it can be. I think in this situation, it's different because Brian is not, you know, totally tied to Will Levis. He didn't draft him. He didn't scout him. They didn't have no reason to scout him. They had their quarterback. Didn't scout him. Didn't do anything. So he's not attached, you know, to the hip to this quarterback. So, you know, his failures or his successes. Whereas it's going to be tied to whether your quarterback is good or not, but it's not like he went out and handpicked that guy and said, this is my quarterback. This is the guy that's going to lead us. That was, you know, Will. Hell, we don't know who it was. We don't know if it was Rand, and we don't know if it was Vrabel, but he's on the team. But what you have an opportunity to do is come in here and set a foundation with your quarterback. Let him know these are the things that you need. These are the things that you saw from the quarterback in Cincinnati and Joe Burrow that helped him be the quarterback who he is now. This is how we need to operate. You're not him, but I'm just giving you like a template of how do you succeed in this league? How do you study film? How do you, you know, go about your week being the leader of a team? How do you work out being a quarterback? You need not be that big, Will Levis. You need to, you know, kind of slim it down just
he's
a tad
awfully
bit.
Beefy, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. But those are the pluses of a Brian Callahan because he watched Joe Burrow. He watched Peyton Manning. He watched, you know, Stafford. He watched those guys, Derek Carr. So he understands what success looks like and how do you build that success. And he can sort of impart that into Will Levis along with the quarterback's coach and you know, the offense coordinator, which he is, but I'm sure he will have another guy that has that specific title. So whereas it will be tied, his success is tied to Will Levis, but it's not tied to Will Levis in a sense of I picked him, this is my guy, we're sinking or swimming with him. Because after a year, if they figure he may not be the guy, then they may be looking, you know, to upgrade that position and upgrade it very quickly. Again, I like Will Levis. I've seen a lot of good things from him. I thought he started to develop some bad habits, but I don't think those were his fault. I think it was the surrounding. But, you know, you were developing. Now you got to get out of them. And that's where Brian Callahan comes in. And if he chooses to keep Charles London, it's a plus because Charles knows Will Levis. He's worked with him for the last year.
And I think you should.
Exactly. I think that would be a good move to keep him as quarterback's coach. So, but not only is it tied to the quarterback, I think it's tied to how they build this team up, because if you have that marquee quarterback, if you have that quarterback developing, and you don't develop, if you don't develop other areas within your team, you still will struggle. You got to be able to develop this roster. You have to bring in guys that are, you know, Titan guys, not Ran guys. We talked about this yesterday. Not Ran guys, not Brian guys, not whoever. No, they're Titans. These are guys that we want that fits this team. Everybody is on board with these guys. So they got to figure out how do they build this roster all while having this young quarterback on hand and developing him as well. Because you can develop the quarterback, that's great, and that's what you're supposed to do. But if you don't develop your roster, you're going to end up like the Chargers. Seriously, with a good quarterback, but your roster gets hurt all the time. They don't show up for big games. It's not deep. And you're going to end up being the L.A. Chargers.
See, I kind of do think it really all lies on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get to a point where you realize, look, Will Levis isn't the guy, then you're starting over. Then you have to go back through the process. And let's say you go 10-7 the year that you realize that Will Levis is not the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not in a position to draft a quarterback. There's no guarantee that there's a quarterback in that draft class that you view as the next future of this franchise. And if there's not a quarterback in that draft class, you either, one, run it back with Will Levis, and depending on where he is on his contract, commit even more money to him, or pick up a quarterback in free agency, pay that quarterback, or spend draft capital to trade for another quarterback in the NFL. Either way, it's going to take time, it's going to take resources, and or it's going to take money. I don't think that when Amy Adams Strunk signed off on moving up in the second round of the NFL draft to take Will Levis, that was a move that she anticipated she would have to be right back in that same position a couple years in the future. I think that the reason why, the biggest reason why they hired Brian Callahan was to help Will Levis. And of course, bring in the Shanahan offense and bring in a new offensive mindset and probably develop and evolve the offense, get a fresh perspective, get someone in here who was on board with analytics, get someone in here who was on board with the power structure with Rand Carthon. Of course, all of those things Brian Callahan had to be on board with. But the reason why Brian Callahan was such an intriguing prospective head coach to me as the Titans were going throughout the interview process, it wasn't about how on board with analytics he was. It was about his track record with quarterbacks. That's, to me, the first and foremost, the most important aspect of Brian Callahan's job. How do you help develop the quarterback? So, and you make a fair point. He's not tied to Will Levis. No, he's not. But I do think that whenever you take this job, you understand that there's probably a pretty high likelihood that your job could be tied to Will Levis. But if it's not Brian Callahan's job tied to Will Levis, it could be Rand Carthon's job tied to Will Levis, because he was the one that hand-selected Will Levis. Whether it was his final decision or Amy's final decision or Mike's final decision, whoever it was, he was the general manager at the time that they decided to trade up and draft Will Levis. Rand Carthon is tied to Will Levis.
Yeah, but I think they're both, with that being said, they're both tied to the hip. Will, I mean, Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, they're both tied to the hip. If this thing works, then it will turn into Shanahan and Lynch. If it doesn't work, then both of them be out. It's not like, oh, this is not working, so you're gone, GM, but you stay head coach. No, if this thing don't work out, we're clean the slate. GM, head coach, assistant coaches, all y'all gone, we're starting over. Hopefully it don't get to that. I don't believe it will get to that. I think they will have success. It may take a year to really see how this team, the direction this team is going in and the success they will have. I think it's going to take maybe a year, maybe a year and a half, somewhere around there. Because, listen, remember, and we always talk from a position of, you know, the now. Look at Detroit. Prime example. Dan Campbell. The first couple of seasons, it wasn't working. Yeah, it wasn't working. But he believed in his vision. He knew it. He grinded out. And he got some players in place. They had a good draft. And lo and behold, they're in the NFC Championship. So that may be the role. That's the role that, you know, every new GM and head coach would love to take. You don't want to, you know, listen, you don't want to come in a job and, you know, struggle the first year. Nobody wants to do that. But if you're coming into a new job, it's for a reason. It's because the last coach slash GM or the last team just didn't succeed up to expectations. So you got to come in here and redo a lot of things. And in the Titans case, it's a lot. So it may take a year and a half to sort of get this thing back on track. But, you know, I do believe in you know, what I see, you know, in regards to, you know, you said it, there's structure now. Everybody knows. So that's a good sign of, okay, they got their ducks in a row. Finally, now we need to see, how do they do in free agency? How do they do in the draft? How does those moves that they make during the offseason impact what they're doing during the season? It may be a bumpy road, but you have to understand and realize that, I think, as Titan fans, that this thing may be a bumpy road. And here's another thing. You drafted Will Levis in the second round. He doesn't get those extra years as if he was drafted in the first round. They're going to have to make a decision. This upcoming season is the season. Like I said last year, this offseason would be the most important season to the Tennessee Titans because they're entering a new stadium in a couple of years. Not only is this offseason is important, the season is important for Will Levis because he don't have those extra
years. He doesn't have the fifth-year option.
Titans can't sit back and just like, okay, we can wait another year. No, you can't. You need to find out what he can do now. Like, we need to know this season whether he's the guy we can move forward with or if we got to get back into that quarterback pool again.
And the Titans have to do their due diligence to make sure, okay, are we doing our part to make sure that we can get a fair read on Will Levis? Because you put him behind that same crap offensive line you had this past year, of course he's going to fail. And that's not a fair evaluation of a quarterback that you originally drafted with my thought on that is with the intention of him being your franchise quarterback moving forward. And you're right, D-Base, that, you know, I think that the idea is this is the structure moving forward, that this can be your head coach and your general manager for the next 5 to 10 years, ideally. I mean, that'd be great, right? 10, 15, 20, your heck, stay here forever. My one fear is, even though this organization, the organizational structure is new than what it was last year, where you have a new head coach, a fresh perspective on things this season, it's still the same owner. So one thing that I do fear is we look at it and we say, look, you need to have your evaluation of Will Levis, but you also have to give it a little bit of time to build up the roster, to let Brian Callahan work with the quarterback. You don't have all the time in the world, but it's not going to happen today. My one fear is with the trend that we've seen with Amy Adams Strunk, are we not going to see Will Levis come to fruition right away? And she makes a split decision to say, Rand, that was your guy. We're moving on from you. And then we continue the cycle over and over and over again.
Hopefully it's not that way.
I'm with you. I mean, that's worst case scenario, I think, for the franchise, that you continue down this road of quick rash decisions. You're constantly jumbling up maybe the pecking order where it's general manager and then the coach goes and you bring in a new GM and then that GM brings in the coach, but now the GM is kind of the next in the pecking order and the next on the chopping block, so to speak.
That's why these two guys are tied to the hip. Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon, the clock starts now on both of them. I expect nothing, you know, but them going out there and then doing the job that they've been tasked to do and doing it at a high level. And if they don't, then obviously we know what the ramifications of that is. You get fired, unfortunately.
Clock starts now. Press conference is today. Brian Callahan's introductory press conference is at 1 p.m. So we will carry that live and in its entirety right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Coming up next, questions that I anticipate to be asked of Brian Callahan in the press conference. Of course, of Will Levis. Of course, of his offensive philosophy. But the running backs as well. What Brian Callahan has said in the past of his running back philosophy. And what does that mean for the future of Derrick Henry. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, we'll get into your phones, your calls, your texts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
In all 9 mock drafts I did, and I was stunned when he didn't go in the first round. So you look at Levis's size, his arm strength, his mobility, his toughness. I would imagine that Callahan can't wait to work with him, mold him, and the experience that he got last season as a rookie bodes very well for this season. Now,
all right, there you go. That was John McClain on with Chase and Big Joe yesterday on Brian Callahan's relationship with Will Levis, and I anticipate that to be a huge topic of conversation today on Brian Callahan's introductory press conference. Again, that starts at 1 p.m., and we will carry that live and in its entirety. We hear from Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, at the top of the hour. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. So Will Levis, I expect to be a big topic of conversation. Overall offensive philosophy, I expect to be a big topic of conversation. Things he's taken away from the quarterbacks that he's worked with. I know we've heard a lot from his days in Denver, working with Peyton Manning, and of course, most recently, working with Joe Burrow. Another thing that I expect to be brought up is Derrick Henry. Because the Titans right now are, they can bring back Derrick Henry if they would like. Can move on from Derrick Henry if you would like. And when we've talked about this before Brian Callahan was hired, it was always couched with, either I want him to come back or I don't think that he needs to come back, but it was always couched with, but it's up to the next head coach. That next head coach brings in their offensive philosophy, or the next OC brings in their offensive philosophy, and it's ultimately up to those coaches to say, yeah, no, we need Derrick Henry on this team, or hey, we don't feel like we need to spend $6, $8, $10 million on a 30-year-old running back. But I don't think that Brian Callahan, and tell me if you agree, I don't think Brian Callahan's going to get up there today and say, yeah, we're going to move on from Derrick Henry, or we need to bring back Derrick Henry. Rand, whip out the checkbook, sign him to $10 million over the next 2 years. I don't expect that to happen today. I don't expect Brian Callahan to tell us what the future of Derrick Henry is today. But maybe we can take a look back at what Brian Callahan has said in the past about his running back philosophy and how that was constructed with the Cincinnati Bengals, and maybe give us a peek behind the curtain of what that could mean with the Titans offense, what that could mean with Derrick Henry, without Derrick Henry. This was Brian Callahan on the Locked On Bengals podcast last year, right before draft time.
You know, I mean, at this point, it's always going to be what complements Mixon for us. You know, is we have a runner. You know, we have a first and second down style back. And so you try to find things that complement that, and that's going to be things in the passing game. That's going to be the protection role that Samaje played, and then still has the ability to spell that part of the first and second down game when needed. So you really want more of an all-around back that's got a little bit more lean into the pass protection and pass game part of it, because that's where we're light in our running back room makeup at this point.
All right, again, that was Brian Callahan. This was last year ahead of the draft, of course, when he was still with the Cincinnati Bengals. D-Maze, what do you take away from that clip?
I mean, I think in the back is essential to what they want to do. But it's not running back centric. It's not running back heavy. If you're going to win in this game, it has to be on the shoulders of your quarterback. Look at every team that was in the playoffs, or teams that are in the playoffs now. Look at their quarterbacks. Everything, probably with the exception of Brock Purdy. The weight of the team is put on the quarterback, Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson, and obviously Patrick Mahomes.
And when we talk about the AFC Championship game, do we say Ravens versus Chiefs, exactly, or do we say Lamar versus Mahomes?
Absolutely. Lamar versus Patrick Mahomes. That's what we're saying. We're not saying the running back versus – no. But we have to be able to run the football. But we're not – we're not in a position, or we don't want to be in a position where we rely on that to be our identity as far as, you know, scoring points, moving the ball down the field. We have to be able to move the ball down the field, throwing the football with our quarterback. But we have to have the ability to be multiple with our running backs, not just one type of running back. We got to have – he talked about Samaje Perine. And then he talked about, you know, having the other, you know, mixing in the fold as well. Those two guys work well together. Those two had similar styles. They both were tough, strong runners. But P. Ryan had the ability to get out the backfield. He was a little bit more shifty and quick than Mixon is. Mixon is a power back. Mixon reminds me so much of Willis McGahee. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys are power backs. You give them the ball 25, 30 times, they're going to be successful majority of the times. But the Titans are sort of moving away from that. They don't need a back to carry the ball 25, 30 times. And I think Callahan's philosophy is, we don't want one back, we want two. We want guys that can do multiple things. We want to be able to, you know, put Tajay Spears out there first down, or put Tajay Spears out there on fourth down, fourth and one, or whoever we have as his backup. We're not so running back heavy that everything is predicated on us running the football each and every week. We got to run it. We have to be successful at doing it because it helps our team. But if we're going to score points, if we're going to move the ball down the field, if we're going to win games, it has to be from the quarterback position. And I think that's a lot of teams, hell, all teams' philosophy. That's why they try to jockey and move up to get these special quarterbacks. That's why they do this extensive sort of background check and you know, analyzing all these quarterbacks. Why? Because they understand and know that if we get that guy, our job becomes much easier. If we don't get him, we got to now find other ways to win football games. Do the Titans have their quarterback? I don't know. Still a lot of questions out there. But I think what Brian Callahan is going to bring to the table as far as his philosophy, it's the quarterback and then it's everybody else. We got to have a running game, but we're not going to be the old school Titans that ran the ball 25, 30 times, that if you pack eight men in the box, we still run it. No, if you pack eight men in the box, go ahead, try it. We're throwing the football. That's what we're doing. So you're going to get out of it eventually. So I think that's what he's bringing to this team, balance. And I say it all the time, every team is balanced, but how does that balance look? The Titans were balanced, but the perception is they run the football all the time. No, they're a balanced team, but they have more success running it than they threw than they do throwing the football.
And that's, you know, before Tim Kelly came in, you did run the Shanahan offense.
Mm-hmm.
Says, the Shanahan offense, finally, like, it's what you ran. You just weren't very good at it.
Exactly.
I mean, like, you couldn't protect the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You struggled in the passing game. So that's where that perception comes from. But you're right, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. Quarterback is the most important position in sports. The quarterback is the main focus of this team right now, is getting it right mm-hmm. with Will Levis. That's why Brian Callahan is here. One thing that I found interesting about that clip was, you know, he talks about Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. Joe Mixon is not Derrick Henry,
no.
But he is that kind of more style of Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. that he's not going to be your Alvin Kamara kind of back that's a quasi-receiver, or a Christian McCaffrey kind of back that's kind of such a massive part of the passing game. He's more of your bruiser, kind of like Derrick Henry mm-hmm. is more of your bruiser. So I do wonder if he looks at that and says, I need both. Mm-hmm. Like, I need the bruising first and second down back, and I also need the Tajay Spears kind of back that's, you know, mm-hmm. more twitchy, quick, catches passes out of the backfield, third down back kind of back. Or does Brian Callahan look at it like, look, I can work with whatever you got.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring back Derrick Henry. We can bring back Derrick Henry. I'll find a way to work him into this offense. That's one thing. I cannot for the life of me remember who said it, but it really stuck out to me. And it may have been John McClain on with Chase and Big Joe. He talked about how Brian Callahan. I'm going to do that a few times. Brian Callahan, he said it has a really good way of not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Mm-hmm. That he doesn't have just this offense that it's going to be run no matter who is out in the field or who is on your roster or what personnel you have. That it's, okay, who do I have to work with and how can I work with what I have to put out the best possible product? That, I think, is an interesting aspect here. And another thing that we heard, this was from Paul Daner with Robbie and Joe earlier this week. Paul Daner covers the Bengals for The Athletic. He praised Brian Callahan and Zach Taylor, of course. They were both kind of the figureheads of the offense. Praised them for their ability to adjust, either in-game or in-season, adjusting what they want to do, adjusting kind of the offensive style to fit more so what's working, what's not, and to reflect the personnel.
Yeah, you have to.
But we didn't see that much with Vrabel. We didn't see that much with this team this past year.
And this is what sort of irked me about, you know, the last regime. And again, I think Vrabel is a damn – I think he's a good coach. I just – when you're just talking about leading people, leading men, I think he's a good coach. I don't want to get too far removed from that. But the reality is this. I scream this every week for the last 2 years. The offensive coordinator, head coach, whoever, your job is to put these guys in positions to succeed. That's what your job is. Why aren't you putting these guys in positions to succeed? Why do you think I scream so much about having, you know, Hilliard on the field last year? Well, why do you want Hilliard on the field? Find a way to – this guy has a talent. He has a gift to play the running back position a different way than what Derrick Henry does. Use that to your advantage. You didn't use it, and when you started to use it, it was working, but it was too damn late. Tajay Spears, find a way to use him. Why you want to use Tajay Spears? Just get a ball to Derrick Henry. I'm not saying don't give the ball to Derrick Henry. I know how this game works. You put people in positions to succeed. They got a talent. Bill Belichick said, don't tell me what he can't do. Tell me what he can. Find out what he can do and then put him in there to do that job. I don't want to hear what he can't do. I don't want to hear that stuff. He's on our team. Find a way to use him. He has a talent. Use him. That's what my whole thing was. These guys have talents. They're good. Find a way to use them within your system. And if you can't use them, get rid of them. You don't need them. They don't need to be on your squad. Everybody has a place and a job to do. Everybody, all 50-something guys, 40-some on game day, everybody has a job. Put that person in that position to succeed. You don't put Malik Willis in a position where he's doing all this crazy stuff. He can't succeed like that. Find something he can succeed with and then do it. Find something that Tajay Spears can succeed at. Allow him to do it. Treylon Burks, same thing. Find something that these guys do well and use it. That's what Andy Reid does. That's what Sean McVay does. That's what Kyle Shanahan does. All these great guru guys, these players that they have, some of them, they go to other places, they don't play the same.
Look at Detroit.
Exactly. Detroit, the same.
Why can't Khalif Raymond and Josh Reynolds do for you what they're doing for the Lions?
Because they saw what they can do best. They weren't top flight guys. But they are guys that, okay, I got this handful of plays. This guy can do this. So when we want, that guy's out there and we're doing it and he's going to make plays. Was it a lot of them? No, but he made the plays because they put him in a position to succeed. At times, it seemed like they were not being put in positions to succeed. You're asking guys, round pegs, to fit in a square hole. No, a round peg should fit in a round hole. Find something that they do well, do it. If not, then they don't need to be on this team.
Figure out a way to make it work.
Exactly. And I don't think they did that enough with certain players. You can do that with Derrick Henry. Just give him the damn ball. He can run it. You know, you can do that with DeAndre Hopkins. Just line D-Hop, just line him up out there and throw him the football. That's what he do best is catch the football. These young guys, you need to find something. You need to find what they can do and allow them to do it at a clip where it's helping your team. If they can't, then we need to find somebody else.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll get into your phones on that. I want to get your thoughts and your reaction, plus what you want to hear from Brian Callahan and his introductory press conference. That will go down at 1 o'clock, which, of course, we will carry live and in its entirety. But coming up next, a whole lot of hate from Vrabel. And we'll explain coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game.
I'm happy for Coach Callahan. You know, he's a well-respected guy. You just wonder how that's an improvement over Mike Vrabel. That's my only question there. I mean, I just don't see how you improved yourself. But they decided to go in a different situation, different structure, and you know, congratulations to him. And you know, he's got a front line quarterback. And get some good talent to work with, and should be interesting.
And that was Charlie Weiss on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Just so much love for Vrabel and boo-hooing about the new setup. We heard the same thing from Mike Florio yesterday on the show when he talked about, you know, why would the Titans move on from Vrabel? He had a lot of success there. And Brian Callahan, he didn't even call plays. And look, I'm not saying that Brian Callahan is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Mike Vrabel is absolutely terrible. There were no good things about the Mike Vrabel era. That's not what I'm saying. But there is so much sentiment, at least outside of Nashville, of why, how in the world could you move on from Mike Vrabel? And it is interesting because we've heard a lot about Mike Vrabel, a very opposite sentiment, at least locally. We saw a tweet. This did you send this to us yesterday, Derek? No, this was
really. Wesley.
Well, Wesley Woodyard. Yeah. We heard him go scorched earth about Mike Vrabel. Boskave tweeted yesterday, well, the Vrabel cat is out of the bag. Definitely not a surprise. Ego is the enemy. Take care, ... Callahan is up. I also saw Tier Tart liking a bunch of tweets, very anti-Vrabel sentiment tweets. Mm-hmm. I wonder, D-Mace, how much of this is, man, like, finally, we can tell the truth about what it was like to play for Mike Vrabel. And how much of this is really convenient to put all the blame on Mike Vrabel now that he's gone?
I think there's, you know, there's some truth in both, I would say. But don't dismiss what Wesley Woodyard is saying. Don't dismiss what T.R. Tart is saying. Just because, you know, neither one of those guys are on the team or, you know, when Vrabel got there, you know, years later, they end up cutting the guys or whatnot. These are not, it's just like any job. When you go into it and things are not going well, I mean, you got a job to do. You're going to do it, but it doesn't mean that you like everything that's going on. And then when you leave that said job, some people feel, okay, now I can say something. I couldn't say anything then. Because, listen, I had a job to do. You know, I didn't run a ruffle any feathers. You know, it was about the team, not necessarily my gripe against the head coach or whoever else. But when I leave that said business or that said team, if you ask me questions, I'm going to tell you the truth. You can't look at Wesley Woodyard and say, oh, he's just mad and disgruntled. Yeah, he's probably upset because of how things went down when he was there. Like, he saw what happened. He was a hangover, I believe, from the malarkey to the Mike Vrabel regime. And things do happen that you don't like as a player. You know, some people say, well, you heard Derrick Henry and what he said. Well, Derrick Henry was the man. He was a made man. When you're a made man, the head coach approach you differently. He don't look at you the same way he looks at everybody else.
But was Will Compton a made man?
Will, they're buddy-buddy.
Yeah, they're bestie buddies.
Yeah, they're bestie. I mean, he, Taylor Lewan, but then, and Taylor Lewan was a made man, too, until he started getting hurt. And then he went from being a made man to a not a made man, and we got to move on from you because you're hurt. But when Taylor was at his best, when he was healthy, he was one of the best left tackles in the game. So you got to approach him different, you know? So you got to look at both aspects of it. There's going to be some guys – that look at it and say, you know what, it is what it is. You know, I'm just trying to keep my job. And, you know, if he didn't come at me directly, I'm good. I may have saw some things from afar, but if he ain't come at me directly, I'm cool with it. It's like, don't ask me no questions. I'm not going to say anything. But then you have other guys like Wesley Woodyard that's like, listen, you know, these are the things that I saw. I've been on other teams. This is what I saw. And guys were not cool with it when it happened. When a new head coach comes in, it happened with John Harbaugh. When new coaches come in, they have to set an expectation in the culture. They have to, whatever they feel that expectation is or whatever they feel their vision of a culture is, they got to set it. And they may ruffle some feathers in the midst of setting that. So when Wesley Woodyard comes out and says what he says, he's not lying. He's just telling his truth from the way he saw it, you know, and the way it affected him. So don't dismiss what he said. There's a reason why, and we said this when it happened, why is Dean Pease retiring? And then, oh, he takes another job in Atlanta. There's a reason why that happened. You're not just going to retire all of a sudden. And then a year later, or what was it, a year, year and a half, somewhere around there, you end up being the defensive coordinator in Atlanta. Uh-huh. You just don't do that. Like, you had a good thing going here with the Titans. But it seemed like now it's coming out, hijacking meeting rooms, taking over for the defense. Mind you, the defensive coordinator got a bunch of skins on the wall, a bunch of them, won a Super Bowl. He got a bunch of skins, and you come and hijack his room? That's the last room you need to be hijacking.
Allegedly.
That's the last room you need to be hijacking is Dean Pease, of all people. Don't mess with Dean. He goes back to Spartan days with me, so don't mess with Dean. Okay? That's one guy, allegedly, you don't need to be hijacking his defensive room. But then he leaves and goes somewhere else and coaches. He goes with Arthur Smith. That doesn't – you got to start putting these things together. Like, make it make sense? Okay, it's starting to make sense now. Everything before Vrabel got fired, it was Vrabel, 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 Vrabel. Mm-hmm. And everybody else just stood back. Then when Vrabel left, it was like, okay, this the real story. I'm going to tell you what really happened. And now it's starting to come out that maybe, just maybe, Vrabel didn't appeal to everybody. He appealed to Derrick Henry. Derrick's the man. He appealed to Big
Taylor,
Jeff.
Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, those are made guys. But them other guys that wasn't made guys, it seems like he really didn't give a hell when he came to them. But I understand it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Vrabel is a bad guy or bad coach. I know how coaches are when they got to come in and sort of fix some things. You got to set down some rules. You got to set down a culture, and it might ruffle some feathers. Hell, John Harbaugh ruffled a lot of. He ruffled my feathers. But it was like, I understand what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, this is football. Once we go across that line, now we can talk and be friends. And that's what John and I would do all the time. He and I would go back and forth at each other all day, every day. But the minute practice is over, he and I walking off the field together, talking about our families, mm-hmm. as if nothing happened. So I understand from a coaching standpoint, but that doesn't mean he doesn't ruffle feathers in the process.
And I think that there's probably outliers on both sides.
Exactly.
That I don't think Wesley Woodyard is the only player that ever played for Vrabel or is ever in Vrabel's locker rooms that feels that way. Mm-hmm. Tyr Tart seems to feel that way as well. I mean, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, I think, would worship the ground mm-hmm. that Mike Vrabel walked on.
And that's cool.
Two very different ends of the spectrum.
Exactly.
And I'm sure those were their experiences mm-hmm. with Mike Vrabel. As far as the fans are concerned, I do think that now it's a very convenient mm-hmm. thing to say, well, everything that was wrong with the Titans was Vrabel's fault, and everything that went right with the Titans this past year is all credit to Ran. I don't think that that's the truth.
No, I think it's listen, there's a reason why he got fired.
Yeah.
Okay? Things were not going the way Miss Amy wanted him to go. So she had to make a change, okay? Just like everybody piled on John Robinson when he got fired. Oh, remember, John did have some great hits, too, when he drafted guys, too. So don't get it twisted.
Drafted Derrick Henry
exactly.
and Jeffrey Simmons.
Don't get it
and
twisted.
And A.J. Brown.
So he had some good ones there, but then he had some bad ones that sort of affected the franchise in a way where they haven't been able to recoup yet. Vrabel's the same way. there was some good in there and there was some bad in there. And unfortunately for him, the bad got him fired because Miss Amy was like, enough with it. We need to move on. I got a vision for this team and you're not part of this vision. It's okay. It happens to everybody. But again, Vrabel, there was some good, I'm sure, and there were some bad, I'm sure. But fans, I mean, you loved him when he was winning. Now that he's gone, just like y'all did John Robinson, now y'all piling on. I mean, cool, do it. Mm-hmm. But remember, he was a part of this team when they were winning, and they were winning at a high clip. It just didn't last as long as we wanted it to.
Do you think Brian Callahan's going to tell anyone to think like a man in his press conference today?
If Jared asked the right question, he may say that
good.
To Jared.
Start off on either the right or the wrong foot, depending on how you want to interpret that. Brian Callahan will have his introductory press conference at 1 p.m. in 1 hour. We will carry that live and in its entirety. The Brian Callahan era has begun in Tennessee. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get his reaction on the hire. And, of course, the new hierarchy, the new power structure. It's Rand Carthon's team. He has final say. What does Tim Hasselbeck think of it? Well, he will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.